WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are.
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow!
What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Everyone, welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. If you also like to follow the channel, you can hit that button, or if you just like to hang out and chat and lurk, you are welcome to do that as well. Or you can chat. We're happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. We tried stalling.
We did.
It's at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward on the Twitter machine. Go to WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTLive, where you, if you want to do it right now, do the Discord command in chat.
That's right, guys.
We have a Discord. It's the soft launch. We're figuring things out. If you want to be a part of the community when we're not live, do the Discord command. And you can join our Discord. Tim's going to have hockey chats in there. So you can join the Discord and interact with Tim talking hockey in real time. And other things.
Yay.
It's a Discord chat. We have a Discord.
I'm excited. Discord, like, that's cool. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the hockey talk because I don't know anything about the hockey. But if you're into the hockey, go hang out with Tim. I'm sure he would love to talk to you.
In Tim's Hockey Lounge. That was the name of the channel I made. It's called Tim's Hockey Lounge. Because, you know, reasons.
Or if you want to, you know, chit-chat with a producer.
You can go to General or the Gamer Lounge or other chats. They're all in there.
I have no idea where the rest of us are. We haven't been told our assigned rooms yet. So
no, we have no. I it was creative. So you can all join the Discord. You've all been given invitations and stuff and everything like that. Join the Discord and, I don't know, we'll build something with it. Oh, good. I think I stalled long enough about the Discord.
Oh, yay. Did somebody finally show up?
Hailing from the corner, the assistant to the assistant regional analyst, the intern, Kane Kittens.
It's a bore. Everybody's working all the time. It's a joy. No one understands. What a no.
I never realized how fitting that song actually is by the lyrics. It just works.
So it was made for you.
It was made for you. So yeah, go to do the Discord command and chat, and you can join our Discord.
You created a Discord?
We have
a WTR Discord, dude. Didn't you hear?
No, I just got here. I literally ran in the door like a minute ago.
We know. Anyway, so there you go. We've launched it. Soft launched the Discord.
What'd you get for food?
I didn't get food.
You didn't? So you didn't bring us anything?
No, I messaged Rock. I'm leaving work. I immediately got in my truck and then just got here with no help from UFOs or anything.
But if you like the UFOs, use creator code ROCKINSOCK or...
Linz M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop. Why?
Because we are hashtag epic partners.
Ding.
Yeah, they have codes. I don't.
Buy the battle passes and all that stuff. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that. That's Saturday night. We got NXT TakeOver to talk about.
We do have NXT TakeOver, and oh my goodness, it's going to be a fun show, because there's going to be some very serious things, and then there's just going to be utter stupidity, and I'm here for all of it.
But we have non-TakeOver stuff we need to talk about first.
We do.
So
I'm going to let you lead that, because...
So I'm just going to throw it out there. For weeks, she's been denying it. Hasn't been a thing. But on TV this week, Candice LeRae goes... Index is a thing, so it does exist. It lives.
Can we just talk about that whole thing?
Go, talk.
About Dexter Lumis shooting his shot with Poppy, probably to make Indy jealous, like right in front of Hunter and William Regal, and Hunter and William Regal being in the background with their facial reactions.
The best.
Was just perfect.
They were the best.
Like William being like, slightly disapprovingly okay with everything, but you know, after once Hunter's like, yeah, no, I ship it, I'm good. William's like, oh yeah, it's great, it's fine. And then when Indy walks up, it's like, oh snap, it was so good.
It was now, so good.
To be fair, Indy done fucked up.
Oh, she did. She totally did. She basically rejected him, called him a loser. She didn't know he was there at the time. But yeah, no, Dexter's heartbroken. Like, here she was and, you know, lead him along. And all she had to do was go ask him if, like, he sent the flowers or not. And instead she did this. So turnabout's fair play. And Dexter got a hug from Poppy and a cute little picture with her. So, I mean, you know.
Again, Hunter and Regal sold the entire segment.
It was so good. Like, I'm so here for this.
Same. It's been great. It's a slow-built story that they're dragging on and on, and it's perfect.
I don't know where it's going, but I'm interested to find out. Because what set up Candace going to the ring about Index was Candace is giving an interview about Poppy. She's pissed off about Poppy being there. You know, because they should all be talking about her and Indy, and instead they're talking about Poppy, right?
Because last week, Sarah Schreiber, while interviewing Candace, brought up Poppy and the goings-on, how, oh my god, Poppy's here next week, and Candace got all pissed off.
So she's bitter about that, and, like, Indy's like, you know what? I'm going to go find Dexter. I think he still loves me. I'm going to go find Dexter, and she runs off. And Candace is like, why is this still going on? This never should have been allowed to happen. Why are we still doing this? I'm going to go take care of this, like, right now. Like, Indy's could not even, like, thinking about the fact that Candace got involved and, like, messed up the whole thing, right? Like,
no,
this is all Candace is doing.
That got all blown over, by the way.
Yeah, like, Indy just completely glossed over all that. Because I think she's so into the fact that, you know, like, Dexter still loves her, so she's, like, not even thinking about that. And that's going to come to a head, I think, when Dexter probably eventually rejects Indy once and for all.
Or we get the wedding.
Look, if they do a wrestling wedding between Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis, I want to go. I want to be there live for that. I want to see that. Not on my TV. I want to be in the audience for it. Because look, I am here for a good drama-filled wrestling wedding, and I have not had a good drama-filled wrestling wedding in quite some time.
Well, wait, there was that one with,
drama.
Bobby and...
No, she's talking about actual drama.
Oh. I guess the last one was, what, Eric and ODB?
I mean, that is the bar.
I mean,
at least
well,
for me.
Well,
that is the bar for a wrestling wedding's Eric Young and ODB.
Well, that was great. There was also the one where someone got shot at a wedding in Impact, like last year, so.
Oh, was it Rosemary and.
And,
Johnny Bravo.
Johnny Bravo and Taya shot Bravo, I think.
Yeah.
See, no, I don't want that kind of shit. Like, I am here for two people exchanging vows in a cage wearing camo.
Oh, I was going to say, the two people in a ring celebrating vows, I was going to go Chuck and Billy.
That was actually a very classy affair.
Did somebody say 3 minutes?
And, I'll give Hunter and Steph credit where credit is due. The second wedding, even though she faked being pregnant, it was very nice.
Oh, it was great.
It's out affair, but...
And all the Kane and Lita ones. And...
Actually, the Kane and Lita one is also one of my favorite ones.
Kane and Lita, Edge and Lita was good too.
And I mean,
Admit, the Dark Wedding is by far your favorite.
I've never actually seen the Dark Wedding in its entirety. I've only ever seen the clips. Like, at some point when it goes up on the network, I'm going to try and find it. Like, that's been one of my goals for a while now, is to find the Dark Wedding and actually watch it, just because... Part of me really loves the fact that The Undertaker had a wrestling wedding.
It is currently available on Peacock.
Ding! But yeah.
I just love Stephanie, like, constantly screaming through the whole thing.
No!
Yeah, screaming hell, and it's just like, they just keep going. It's just on.
It's like, y'all have done this once or twice, haven't you?
We're not stopping for a day. That was actually her first one. That was back when she was still green.
I was going to say, Mark Calloway got to break in Stephanie McMahon. Everybody remember that one?
This is...
Before Hunter, well, Taker got her first.
Well, on TV, ooh yeah, Dick. Anyway, moving on.
Rock.
Moving on.
Rock.
What? I didn't say anything.
Hey, that still leads to my long-standing theory that Stephanie McMahon is, like, low-key in love with The Undertaker, and she flirts with him every chance she gets, because she does. If you ever watch her when he's around, she's, like, she's making hard eyes at him. She's... Like, just go watch WWE's Greatest Treasures, where they're sitting there talking to him on the conference call, and just look at her body language and her face. Yeah.
She's ooh, yeah, I did get...
No, she's all about ringing that bell.
Kong. Anyway, moving things back around, Io Shirai returned on TV too. That was cool.
That was great, yeah. It's like Poppy shows up, it's like, it's probably you, but it's still cool.
Poppy's like, I don't wrestle, but I know someone who does.
I brought my friend, and she's badass.
She's a badass. But there's a takeover live this Sunday on Peacock. 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Woohoo!
That makes Brent happy. We got 5 matches on this show.
Typical takeover length.
Typical takeover length. And we should kick it off with the one I think we're most excited about for story reasons. The $1 million championship on the line in a ladder match. Yes, I did not mistake. It is the $1 million championship. And it's not a replica. It is the real deal. The real $1 million.
They got a back out.
They pulled out of storage.
Or out from under Mark Carano's bed, if whoever you believe.
Whoever you believe. It's Cameron Grimes and L.A. Knight. Yeah.
Can we just touch on the fact that whoever has had the $1 million championship, aside from Ted DiBiase, hasn't had the greatest run?
No, it's really not. And really not the best belt.
No.
I mean,
it looks fancy.
I mean, the Ringmaster had it, and then didn't have it anymore. And
yeah, it just kind of disappeared off of his waist, and then they decided to, rebrand him. Boy, it's a shame that didn't turn out.
Nope, it didn't work out for that guy.
No. Hell yeah. And then his son got it for a little while.
Boy, howdy, did that work.
Yeah, that really took off.
Did Virgil ever hold it?
Yes! Virgil held it for like 77 days.
So there's a high standard for this $1 million championship.
They're trying to rebrand it. That's why they sent it down to NXT. They're gonna you know, try to like lift it back up, so, give it a new gimmick, give it a new life.
So my first question is, can the belt actually hang, or are they gonna hang the briefcase?
I think they're gonna hang the briefcase unless they figured out a way to like hang the title.
Honestly,
go ahead. They may be able to put like hooks or something in there to like, because it doesn't have the like leather sides. It has like,
it's a legit clasp.
It's metal. The metal dollar signs, and it just clasps in the back. It's not the snaps that a normal championship would have.
But it's also hundreds of thousand dollars in value. I don't know if you want to have that hanging.
I'm sure the one that's going to be above the ring is going to be a fake.
You think?
It's going to be, steel plated with cubic zirconia. It's fine.
I mean, I'm sure since they're bringing it out of storage that they probably took it to a jeweler, they definitely had it professionally cleaned because that thing glimmered on Wednesday. But I'm sure they've had all the diamonds checked. I'm sure they've had everything like basically, hey, this is what we're going to do with it. Is this okay? And I would bet that they've probably had it shored up to make sure that it's going to be able to hold up because it is exceptionally valuable. So they will take care of it. Or they could just hang the briefcase.
Which was a cool reveal, like having it in the briefcase, having the security with it. That was like cool. All right, there are replicas on WWE Shop, so I'm probably going to use that.
Yeah, that's what I said. They're probably going to get a really good replica of the title if they don't already have one. And for all we know, that could be a really good replica of the actual title.
It's the legit one. Hunter said it today. It was the real one.
Okay, well, then they'll get the fake and they'll hang it above the ring. So that way Cameron and LA Knight can fight over it. Or they're going to put it in the briefcase. But get like maybe like a clear briefcase or something so you can see it.
Or you just put the dollar signs on the briefcase like they did the ladder.
Yeah.
The gold-plated ladder with green spray paint on it.
Look, they are going for a theme, and I respect.
I respect it.
Because we're not even talking about the best part of this whole thing.
Oh, no. Go for it.
The videos. The videos from Wednesday, right? Like, LA Knight. And, like, Cameron Grimes are feuding over Ted DiBiase's love. That's what this is. It's who gets the million-dollar legacy, right? That's what this has turned into. You had Cameron Grimes and LA Knight doing basically shill videos to say why they deserved to get Ted DiBiase's million-dollar legacy. And I have so many questions as to why you have random women in your bathroom dressing you, LA Knight, sir. You know, is that your significant other, or is she just hangs out there from time to time?
I mean, if you're that elevated, who doesn't have women in their bathrooms helping them get dressed?
Well, what made it even more awkward was Cameron's in the pool, right? And Cameron's cutting the promo in the pool, and there's, like, just a lady's calves on either side of his head.
Hell yeah.
As he's cutting the promo. It was just really super awkward. It's like, you know, she doesn't need to be there. She doesn't add anything to it. It's just this random set of gams that's just in the shot.
I failed to see what the problem is.
So the best part about the backstory of all the segments they did... So you had Cameron Grimes out there drinking and smoking, right? The cigar?
Yeah.
He doesn't smoke or drink. They had to do it in one take because, what was the phrase? I think it was going to kill him or something, him trying to smoke the cigar. That's what Hunter said today.
Hey, look, sometimes you gotta, you know, take one for the team.
And these are Jeremy Borash specials, these vignettes.
Of course they are.
I'm very proud of him for this. But yeah, I don't expect this match to be long. I don't necessarily expect this match to be good.
No.
I expect this to be stupid in every sense of the word, but stupid in a very entertaining and enjoyable way because I don't... Like, Cameron can wrestle and he can work, and I'm sure they'll be getting help with the ladder match.
Well, they have Shawn Michaels there. I mean, come on. He'll work him into a match. It'll be fine. Like, Cameron Grimes is going to be good in a ladder match because he'll do his dives and whatever, but it's LA Knight that I'm concerned about a little bit because he's more of an entertainer than a great worker.
So, a ladder can hide that at times.
A ladder can hide but it's just, I'm not sure how they're going to mix.
Well, here's my thing. okay, so you're going for the $1 million legacy. Would Ted actually, like, you know, get in a ladder match and fight? Or would he, you know, pay somebody to fight in the ladder match for him?
Ted can't get in the ring.
No, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, okay, back in the day, back when Ted could get in the ring, would Ted find himself in a ladder match, or would he buy his way out?
He would find himself in the ladder match. Back in the day.
Yeah.
He would.
I think he would have been in the ladder match, but he would have had shenanigans galore.
Yeah.
And that's what we could have here. That was my point that I was trying to get to, is that...
The long way around, shenanigans.
Yeah, that we're going to have shenanigans, that Cameron's probably going to try to buy his way out in several different ways to get that championship. Or Cameron could just straight go for it. He could want it that badly that it's like, look, I'm willing to fight you for it.
See, I see Cameron. Cameron has transitioned into the babyface role. So I see him more fighting for it. I see if anyone's going to try and use chicanery, it would be Knight.
Imagine this scenario, and this would be completely... Wouldn't it be a scenario that it would do, but it would be funny if it happened? So they're both fighting for the title, and you have Ted DiBiase at ringside. The title falls down off the ladder. It's laying in the ring. He looks in the ring, grabs his title, and walks away with it.
He's the only one that can have the $1 million legacy.
They let the title hit the ground. They don't earn it. They don't deserve it. He picks it up. He walks away with it.
I was going to say, if you said the referee picks it up, I was going to lose my mind.
No, it wouldn't be the
referee. We've had that happen before.
We've had that happen. But no, Ted walking away with his own belt because neither man deserves to be the $1 million champion.
Actually, I could see them doing the briefcase gimmick, and when they go to open the briefcase, it's not in there.
That
and
too.
Ted just walks away laughing.
And he just walks away laughing. I could see them doing that too.
They could, just because they're not worthy of the title. They haven't proved themselves.
That, or he says, you think I was going to make it that easy?
True.
Like, you think that it was just going to be a simple ladder match, and that's all you have to do to prove your legacy to me? Or prove your worth to me? Oh no, son. No, no. This is just, like, stage one.
But, let's throw the scenario. But, say there are no shenanigans, and it's straight up, Cameron Grimes and LA Knight for the $1 million title. Who's walking out with the $1 million championship?
I can almost see it being LA Knight.
See, I see it being LA Knight. There's something more about the chase with Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
With him, it's like, if LA Knight cheats to get it, that just fits well with him. And plus, the way that he kind of came in, I feel like he needs the bragging rights of it, whereas Cameron can fight for it and claw to try and get it, and I think the fans would be absolutely behind him for it.
The thing with Cameron is Cameron, we all love him, is a bit of a fuck-up, right? Like, he can't quite get it right. And like you said, the money's in the chase with him, where eventually he gets it right. Eventually he figures out how to do the thing, and he gets what he wants. He gets the $1 million title, or mm-hmm. the $1 million legacy, because I see this extending beyond Sunday. So mm-hmm. I feel like if anybody's going to cost Cameron, it will be Cameron costing himself with some kind of mistake. And then he goes to LA Knight and DiBiase, or possibly just LA Knight. I'm not sure how long Ted's going to stick around for. And he convinces LA Knight to put it up again, and keeps convincing him to put it up until he either A, runs out of money, or B, gets the title.
See,
and you have that big payoff.
I see him doing more... Like, if he doesn't win here, he could go to LA Knight, and Knight would be like, no, I'm not going to give you a shot again. You screwed up. What I ultimately see shifting the storyline into Knight having to fight for it, I can almost see Cameron pulling Ambrose and stealing the belt.
Yeah, I can see him stealing the belt, too.
And then he just he hangs on to it, and, you know, he can do, like, vignettes, like taking the belt wherever, like the Stanley Cup, and you just see Knight getting more and more angry until finally he's like, okay, we're fighting for that, you know, I'm gonna get my property back, and that's when Cameron can win it wholesale.
Or, here's another scenario we could throw out there. Cameron Grimes wins the title, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on this lavish spending spree, he's like the $1 million champion, and he loses all his money and he has to sell the belt. He comes broke and he has to sell that title to someone. And he could sell it back to
Ted. He sells it back to Ted.
To Ted or LA Knight.
Well, I mean, have they established that LA Knight is, like, loaded?
I mean, like, with the women and the car and the house. I mean...
Well, but that's the other side of it is it's like, what if it's all a lie, right? Like LA Knight's like basically living a lie and it gets exposed in this. Because, like, you can rent a nice house for a day. You can hire actresses to be your...
Oh, yeah. You can.
By ladies. Way, you can do all of that. So it's like he's living this impression that he's living this glamorous life when in actuality he's not. And you could have Cameron Grimes, like, that's how Cameron Grimes gets another shot at the titles. He exposes LA Knight as a fraud.
He could.
You know, basically, like, this isn't how you're actually doing things. You don't deserve that title. I deserve that title because I actually have the money. And he challenges LA Knight. Like, he ruins LA Knight's reputation and forces him to put the title on the line.
Oh, I just like they had a rent too expensive car for NXT vignettes. That was great. I don't think either one of
them. They just went to Vince's garage.
Maybe.
I'm sure somebody owns... I think they're renting the Rolls for Cameron.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the Bentley, which is, I think is what LA Knight had, I'm sure somebody owns that. I'm sure that's somebody's personal car. It has to be.
Maybe.
But they could be renting it. But it's like at the same time, they could do what they did for Alberto Del Rio because they used to like get him a fancy-ass sports car every time he was going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go to a dealership and you have the dealership bring it out and park it. And then you don't drive it.
Yeah.
You just don't let Brock Lesnar near it.
Right? But Cameron's been driving the Rolls, so I don't know.
But
it could be Cameron's car, too.
Could be. Anyway, so let's go around the horn. Who wins? Brent.
I'm going to go LA Knight.
Lindsay.
I'm going to have to say LA Knight.
I'll go Cameron Grimes.
I mean, I'd love Cameron to win, but I got to go LA Knight.
I'll just pick it to be different. I'll go Cameron Grimes.
Wait, is that how you really say his name, though?
Cameron
Grimes!
To the moon.
To the moon! I love how much, or I hate how much I love that character. Like, I really,
it's
really do.
It's been great. Like, his character over the last 6 to 8 weeks has really grown on me.
Well, even, like, before when he was doing, you know, the rejected Wyatt, you still absolutely hated him, but loved him at the exact same time because he was so obnoxious. And now it just ratcheted up to 11 because he got money.
It's wonderful. I hope they keep him down in NXT and they don't send him up to, like, the main roster. Because I feel like they would just kill the character on the main roster, so please, please don't do that.
Well, and I was going to say, the one thing about this match also is they were all part of the, what was it, 5 or 6 way gauntlet for the North American title.
The 12-man thing, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't really remember those two touching a lot. I mean, they had some interactions, but it wasn't as big.
Didn't LA Knight eliminate Cameron?
That's good question.
Because I know they touched. I know Cameron was out of the match really early, mm-hmm. and they had kind of been flirting with each other a little bit before that. But Cameron was sort of in that weird transition place because it was like Dexter was in the match and Johnny was in the match, and how are Dexter and Cameron going to play together? Because, you know, that was the first time they'd really interacted since the zombies.
Well, and we were kind of figuring that Bronson Reed and LA Knight were going to face off because they had kind of hinted at that. And then those two never really interacted.
Grimes, Swerve, and Reed eliminated LA Knight. And then Grimes was next to be eliminated by Isaiah Swerve.
Okay, so it's actually the other way around.
Yeah, that's how that happened.
All right, so what's next?
Our next contest.
No 8-ball or wheel?
All right, we got to do 8-ball. How about that?
So close.
No, Lindsay, we have to take on the inanimate objects. We have to.
Hey, Magic 8-Ball, will Cameron Grimes beat LA Knight and win the $1 million championship? Sources say nope. That one.
Who was that?
So that's LA Knight.
Knight wins. Okay.
All right. So who wins?
Wrestler 1.
Wrestler 1 is Cameron Grimes.
There you go.
Not Wrestler 3.
Not, in fact, Wrestler
3. It would have been Ted DiBiase.
That would have been Ted DiBiase, yes.
Wrestler 3!
Alright, what's next?
You have the card, sir.
Mercedes Martinez versus Ayla. You also have the sheet. It's in your Skype.
I do?
Yep. It's been sitting there for an hour and a half.
Say anything to me about it?
Anyway, Mercedes Martinez, Ayla.
Jen, are you ready?
Are you prepared?
Shut up!
Are you prepared? Did you see the thing?
You ready
I did
up?
Not see the thing! I didn't... Okay, no, No, you don't get to put this on me because we did not do a certain thing last night. We didn't even discuss it last night. You just said we were just doing this, right? So there was no sheet involved. And now at 9:06, a magical sheet appears in my Skype, which I can't open anyway because Skype is a dick.
So Lindsay, are you in the lobby?
Yes, I am in the lobby. Anyway, Xia Li versus Mercedes Martinez. Go. Live radio, everybody. Live radio.
This is what happens when she doesn't listen to me.
You didn't say anything to me!
For this match, it kind of feels like Xia's been in a bit of a holding pattern for a while.
Oh, God,
while.
Yeah. Yeah, she has. And I don't know if it's a COVID thing or...
No, she started strong, but I think the issue is you've got the women's titles with Indy and Candice.
Mm-hmm.
You've had Ember and Shotzi kind of move towards the NXT women's title, where you have Dakota and Raquel.
Oh, by the way, blame Brent Shotzi Blackheart.
Oh, wait, she is actually hurt.
Don't know if she said on Twitter she's hurt, so good
which
job.
Which explains why she's been...
AFK.
AFK a bit. But, so it, I think in terms of the women's division, there hasn't been a lot for Xia to do, because you don't really want to feed her Zoe, because Zoe's, well, she was fighting Tony, but don't really know what's going on there.
Like,
she already ran through the 2Ks.
Like, we thought, like, there's a trajectory for her where they want to push her to the moon, and then her rocket stalled.
Yeah, it's like they did the whole, like, really weird torture porn, kinky bullshit, where they're locked in this dark space with the lady watching them get beat up until they get toughened up. And, like, her and Boa, like, I don't know what happened to Boa. He's just gone.
Well, no, he was there, and... he was there, like, two weeks ago.
He's hanging out in the background. He's just...
He creepily stalked Mercedes and stuff.
But yeah, still, it's like you had the whole, like, shebang, and then you re-debut both of them with Tian Sha, and you have the whole big entrance, and you have everything, like, and they were doing it for a while where she was running through people, she's beating people up, she's looking like a badass, and then they just vanished. Like, the smoke came and got them and took them, and they were just, you never saw them again for, like, weeks.
Been the strange thing, because last takeover we sat here and we were talking about like Xia has to be a contender soon, right? That's where this direction was going, and then it's like no, and then maybe, and then she's listed 5'3", which is not small, but it's not like she's on the average size, I guess, with the women, I guess.
Okay, I'm gonna throw this out there. I'm 5'2", so
I know, but you understand what I'm saying.
She's short,
so like short and dominant
against Raquel,
right? It's like the It's like Raquel's the wrong opponent for her, because like they're billing Xia as this dominant figure, but she's not like what you would consider a dominant character in terms of size and presentation. You know what I mean?
Well, with Raquel, it depends on what you get on any chosen day, because they kind of sort of like vary that as they go. But like, I don't know. Like, it's just because you could have had them on these two parallel paths almost, because Raquel kind of had this rise to the title and they did a really nice job prepping her for the title. And then you could have had Xia Li on the other side.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, they just had her run through people. They didn't have her like get into a feud. It's like with Candice and Kayden, you just kind of had her beat them up. You didn't really have any natural conclusion to that feud whatsoever.
Casey.
I'm sorry, Casey. And, but there was no natural conclusion there. It was like they had her beat up Casey
because,
and hurt her knee.
Because she got hurt, so I think they paused that story.
And then they kind of moved her on to other people, but then she just sort of disappeared off TV, and you never saw her. Because they had her going really, really, really strong. And then nothing. And now she's back. She doesn't get the entrance anymore. They don't have Tian Sha with her.
They will Sunday. Because she has a match in weeks. She just came out and attacked Mercedes this week.
And the only thing I can figure is that potentially they're going to write Mercedes out of NXT. And they're going to have her go be somebody's muscle.
Maybe. She's a rumor, but not... I think she's back in NXT. I think they made another decision on that. But
it could be. But still, it's... You know, what's going on here, basically?
I think Mercedes is here to But that's weird. Okay, this is weird. Mercedes is a heel.
I don't know.
So, like, she's a heel and Zaya's...
I think she's slightly turned face with the Raquel feud.
But...
She's like a tweener.
She's a tweener, so this is, like, it's a weird fan thing. Like, I don't know. I think Mercedes is here just to put Zaya over.
Yeah.
I think she's here
to help bolster the women's roster, give them a nice, good, experienced hand to go up against some people.
I mean, this is Zaya's first takeover, so she's going to want to impress people to really supplant her name. And it's like, if she doesn't, then there's trouble. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Go ahead.
But they're also building Mercedes, and I think eventually they're building Mercedes to point her at Raquel.
But they already did the match, so it's like her comeback to it. But I think she's going to be sidetracked enough where she doesn't get back.
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But Raquel or Mercedes, I could see them having her hang around for a bit. Eventually, I could see them putting the belt on her just for a brief little stint as kind of a thank you and a career highlight. But I don't see her holding it for long. I don't see her doing like a EO-style run with it. I see her like from one takeover to another, and that's about it. Especially because Mercedes is 40? I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, I think 40. She's actually late 40. 30s,
she's,
early 40s.
She is 40. So,
and she's been wrestling forever. Not to say that's bad, but I remember seeing her way back in the day up in Jersey, I think, when she first started.
Yeah, she wrestled all the way back up. Fun note, because I had Zaya's wiki open, looking up her height earlier. Mercedes beat Zaya in the first Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, they touched on that a little bit.
Yeah. So,
that there is a history with these two.
That ties it all together. Who wins?
You gotta go with Zaya, right?
Yeah, I think Zaya has... If Zaya doesn't win, then they have trouble.
Then the gimmick's dead.
Yeah.
Because the whole gimmick was they were building her up as this, like, unstoppable force, thanks to the magics. And if the magics get stopped by the just sheer badassery of Mercedes Martinez, what are you supposed to do?
All right, so I'm Zaya, you're Zaya, Brent is...
I think Zaya, though I could see them do a surprise of, like, Mercedes just to extend this out a little more and have almost a gimmick second match. But ultimately, I think Zaya wins here if I was going to go what I believe.
Magic 8-Ball, will Mercedes win on Sunday? It is decidedly so. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2 is Zaya Lee.
Wrestler 3 would be Boa. All right, now that I have a card in front of me, because my word won't open the sheet, speaking of Raquel Gonzalez, and we were talking about her, she's taking on Ember Moon, and she will have with her Dakota Kai, and in theory, Ember will have Shotzi, but if Shotzi's hurt, she may not be there, but it's for the NXT Women's Championship. This has been a nice little feud that's building. Ember challenged, Raquel accepted.
I'm sorry, fate was sealed on Tuesday.
Hmm.
Ember looked too strong at the end of their interaction.
Oh yeah.
It was the fact that she hit both the modified and then the full eclipse and knocked Raquel out, and they played up the fact of, oh, Raquel has never been knocked out like this before. I was just like, yeah, that's your telltale sign that Ember ain't going over.
That's your typical hard sell of the babe pushing the baby face being the heel.
Yep.
But it should still be a really good match. I think Ember's going to make Raquel look like $1 million.
Oh, no doubt.
Because this is her first real
second
defense. First second
defense. Well, she had the match against Mercedes, which was a good match on TV. Is this our second title defense? Maybe.
I believe so.
Yeah,
but this
there
could
was
be a serious challenger for her, no offense to Mercedes. Just because Ember is a former women's champion in NXT, she's a very strong contender. I don't foresee them taking the title off of Raquel.
Oh, God, no.
No. But I will give them credit that they at least play up Ember as a very credible threat, and the fact that she is a former champion herself. So going into this match, you're kind of like, if Ember were to win, yeah, that's absolutely believable. That's fine.
they've done a good job of hot-shotting her out of the tag team with the shots being down on the shelf for a few weeks into a title contender in what, 3 weeks? So they've done a pretty good job of it in terms of Ember's on a mission, and when Ember's on a mission, no one can stop her, and that's kind of what the point was on Tuesday. So that's good, but I don't see Raquel losing that strap.
No.
I don't think they've lost confidence in her.
Yep. It's just too early for her to lose it. I feel like Ember will be a really strong contender. You can build a feud out of this, because remember, Dakota's involved. So the question is will Dakota turn, or will Dakota stay loyal? Because we all know how that one goes. And
you're a slow build the turn.
Yeah.
You're a slow build the turn, but, you know, could things happen here to start to kick that off? Could Raquel get distracted? Could she almost lose? Could there be a DQ where she retains the title through a disqualification, but somehow Ember gets the win? Like, that's a really convoluted way to do it, but it protects both women's, where it's essentially a non-finish, where Raquel gets to keep her title.
Yeah, but this is like the main roster. They don't do that in NXT.
See,
well, they could.
I see something happening with this where even if Shotzi is injured, I think what you can do is bring her out, have her at ringside, have Dakota attack her, distract Ember, Raquel hits the slam, 1, 2, 3. Because in that way, Ember still looks strong because it took Dakota getting involved to throw her off.
I don't know, I think you've been watching too much AEW and all these distraction finishes.
I'm not necessarily, but I'm just saying... And that way you also build a second match, because that's something AEW doesn't do with distraction finishes, is build off of it.
I know, I was just taking an AEW shot. That's all I was trying to do.
This isn't CB Radio Not So Live, you ass.
Well, but now you can check out our review of Double or Nothing. Anyway, I expect it to be clean. I expect Raquel just to avoid the stunner from the Eclipse and sort of take out Ember and move on, and the jealousy continues to be in the eyes of Dakota. That's how I see it ending.
Yeah, I can see that, and you can easily build Ember back up if you need to.
Right, because she still has the program with Shotzi as in the tag, and a loss here is not going to damage Ember. We know who she is at this point. So I'm going Raquel. You're going Raquel, Lindsay?
Yeah, I'm going Raquel.
Brent, you're going?
I'm going Raquel, and I'm trying to figure out who the next contender would be after that.
As you do that, 8-Ball, will Raquel Gonzalez retain on Sunday? Outlook not so good. Magic Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 3.
Ha! Dakota Kai wins!
Woo!
Wrestler 1.
Raquel.
She said Wrestler 3. Wrestler 3 stands. Wrestler 3,
but in parentheses, Raquel.
All right, there you go. All right, winner takes all, 6-man tag team match for the NXT North American and NXT Tag Team Championships. Bronson Reed and MSK versus Legado del Fantasma. All belts are on the line because...
they're stupid.
Reasons.
This harkens back to an In Your House moment way back in the day where it was, what, Sean and Diesel taking on Owen and Yoko for the title, tag titles, and they put up the world title and the Intercontinental title online in the same match. Back in Your House, and Owen Hart wasn't there or showed up late, and they had the Bulldog in the match. Very convoluted. But that's your In Your House throwback moment. I guess this is a way to get the belts back on Del Fantasma Group without, I don't know. I'm not feeling this match. I don't know why.
I can see this as a way that they can get the title back on the boys, but at the same time, they just put the North American Championship on Bronson, and they just put the tag titles on MSK. It's like, but Legado needs the win. Bad.
My feeling is like the story just seems very rushed, putting all the belts on the line. It just feels like a crazy stipulation for crazy stipulation's sake. Like, the match is going to be good. MSK is really good. Legado del Fantasma, they're all really good. Bronson Reed has some good moments, and they could put on an entertaining match. I would be surprised if this wasn't the opener to kick off the show.
Yeah.
The man springs up unless they're moving them to the main roster.
It's too early. It's way too early to move. Bronson's not ready. I love Bronson to death, but he's not ready.
Yeah, the only group I would move up is Legado del Fantasma, but again, I don't even think they're
not ready either.
They're not main event.
Like the thing is if you move them, if you move Legato right now, they're 205 Live. That's it. That's all they are.
And they've avoided putting them on 205 Live even when he was Cruiserweight Champion.
Yeah, because they're not ending up on SmackDown. Otherwise, they would just be Lucha House Party 2.0.
But then again, everyone's very high on Santos, and I mean, I could see them moving him up to Raw and as a group, but I don't think they're the group before Raw right now because they have stuff like that.
The thing is that Santos has been doing some of his best work right now. He's really been shining, and there is a void that's been left by certain people who have departed. And I could see them looking to fill that void with Santos Escobar. But at the same time, you have Angel Garza on Raw, and where the hell is he? Like, you actually had a really good... Sorry, go ahead.
Angel Garza, where is he? He's taking roses and putting them where he probably shouldn't be.
Yeah, that's true. But it's like, why don't you push Angel Garza?
I don't know. But that's beside the point. I don't know. I'm not... Again, it's you want to see Legado del Fantasma, like Lynn said, needs the win, but at the same time, I think MSK and Bronson need it more, just from a pure, legitimacy standpoint. Because, the man's brought up, they look like fluke wins if they just lose them here. It's like, yeah, I can see that. Like, they got the wins, but they couldn't, keep it.
For me, this match feels like, and I know we kind of jokingly talked about at the beginning of the show that, oh yeah, takeovers are 5 matches. It felt like they wanted to do 6 by having Legato face MSK individually and then maybe Santos and Bronson individually. And then they went, oh God, we ran up against our buffer. Screw it. Throw them all together. That's how this overall feels.
But at the same time, you could always have saved one for TV the way they work now. I don't know. Let's hit Row interference begins a feud with them like they taste on Tuesday. I mean, yeah, so if Hit Row is the heels, then you need them to have babyfaces to work with. So I would keep the belts on the babyfaces so the heel Swerve has heels to. The Swerve and his heels can work against the babyfaces. So heels lose, babyfaces win.
That's what I was gonna go with. I was gonna go MSK and Reed win.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm leaning, Lindsay.
I think it just makes sense to have them win. Like again, as much as I love Legato, I think. It's just too early to move the titles back onto them after you just, again, had MSK and Bronson get them. And I would say this is probably the first big defense for Bronson, although he had a really good match. He's had a title defense, but I feel like it hasn't.
Has
it wasn't
had,
that big. Or is this the first one?
Hang on. Give me a minute.
Because I feel like he's had one, unless I'm confusing the ladder match with Johnny.
The cage match with Johnny?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, the cage match with Johnny with the title defense.
That was a good match, Johnny. That was the win.
There hasn't been a defense.
Yeah, there hasn't. It's only been 3 or 4 weeks ago. It wasn't that long ago.
So this is a pretty big first defense for him in terms of putting the title up on the line against 3 people because I think essentially he doesn't have to be pinned to lose the title. Like, somebody else could take the pin and Legato gets the titles. Like, that's how this works.
Yeah, whoever wins, if Santos gets the North American and the other two get the tags, I guess. That's how it goes.
Well, they'll sort it out. But, so you could have, say, Joaquin Wilde pin one of the MSK boys and boom, there you go. The titles change hands.
Yeah, that's the fluffiness of it, yeah.
So it's it's a pretty high stakes defense for Bronson. Especially his first time out, and I think especially if he gets the pin in the match, that will just help continue to solidify him as a champion. But it could also be his downfall, right? Like, he doesn't lose the title if he doesn't get pinned. So that could be his excuse to go back to Santos and be like, look, I never got pinned, you owe me a rematch.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, what's going to happen is Bronson pinned one of the tag dudes in the group. And
it allows him and Santos to still have a singles match
later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where MSK gets one that pins and you still save the Bronson interaction. So all across the board, babyfaces?
Yeah. Yep.
8-ball babyfaces win? Yes, definitely. Magical Wheel of Fun? God damn it.
Wrestler 3.
Wrestler 3, write it down.
It's all right, it's down. Who's
Wrestler 2.
Heels.
Okay. So everyone but the wheel went faces. Awesome.
Because she said Wrestler 3. It's Wrestler 3.
So far we have two Wrestler 3s. Let's see. We may get a clean sweep.
All right. And last but certainly not least, in another big dick move, this time on Karrion Kross's part, he challenged Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, and Pete Dunne to try and come take his title from him because he's sick of everybody's crap. It should be noted that Johnny Gargano will be bringing his son to work with him. Austin Theory should be at ringside. Oney will be coming with Pete. Those two should cancel each other out. And then Scarlett will be, of course, at ringside with Karrion.
I don't actually expect them to be there. I think interfere. Yes. Will they be ringside? I don't know.
I can see them be at ringside, and then I can see Karrion just absolutely waylaying them, and they're gone for the night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, something's going to happen to Scarlett, potentially. Yeah. She's going to get knocked, or she's... Something's going to happen to her, and he's just going to start killing people.
All right. One, by the way, you're listening to Rack Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. If you're just joining us, you can do the Discord command and chat. We now have a Discord, so you can join us. This is presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. The question I have to ask, and here as it goes, is... Are they losing faith in Karrion Kross as a top guy?
I don't think so. I think this is a way. To me, this match screams we didn't know who for him to face, so we're just putting everyone out there and seeing what comes from it. Because I don't think you wanted to throw Pete out alone, because in theory, Karrion should still win, and that could hurt Pete and his current streak. Johnny just lost the North American title. Kyle, you're still trying to build up, so a loss early may hurt that, and then you just have Cole being Adam Cole right now.
And it's so good.
Adam Cole brought a breath of fresh air to NXT when he returned.
He's been missed. He's definitely been missed.
And I've liked everyone taking shots at each other. It's felt very real. Not scripted real, actually real. Them all taking shots at each other.
Yeah, it's everybody jockeying for position, right? Like, it's everybody trying to, basically, it's a dick measuring contest, right? Everybody's whipping it out to measure up against everybody else to see whose is the actual biggest. That's what's going on.
So, as we've talked about all night, like, this show is pretty much, I mean, the million dollar title match is like, it can go either way, but everything else just seems pretty straightforward, right? So, could they make some news, take the belt off Karrion and him piss off the monster and have him look for revenge, or is it too soon to do that?
I don't see them taking the belt off of Karrion here. I can see you using this to kind of help set up a couple of things moving forward. If you want to do Adam Kyle 2, this is a perfect way of setting that up. Have one screw over the other. Honestly, I hate to say it, I think Johnny's in the match to take a pinfall.
I think Pete's in the match to take a pinfall.
See, I can see it from the opposite side. I can see them taking the title off of Karrion here because there's five people in this match, and here's my issue with it. So Karrion Kross beats your top four contenders for your title. Who do you point at him next? Because you're now going to have to rebuild everybody involved in this match if he wins.
Not really, because you only have to rebuild the person who takes the fall.
But still, it's going to put a ding because it's basically, I just beat you. Why should I fight you again? That's where the problem comes in, is by putting everybody that's at the top against Karrion Kross, it's, okay, well, where does he go next? Who do you point him at next? And for Karrion, as we've seen with other really dominant champions, long reigns don't do well for them. It doesn't serve them any type of good to get to the top and stay at the top and mow through competitors. But they do like to do long title reigns in NXT. This is a setup where somebody like an Adam Cole or a Johnny Gargano could come in and take advantage of the situation and walk away with Karrion's title, because like the MSK Bronson Reed situation, Karrion doesn't have to get pinned. So all you have to do is either get Karrion out of the ring long enough for somebody to get a pin on somebody else, or you get Karrion down long enough for somebody to get a pin on somebody else for them to take his title away. Because the what's good about Karrion is the chase. Like, he's a great champion. He's a dominant champion. And I love the whole aesthetic of the dark evil graphics. Like, that's just badass. But that's going to run its course at some point. And you have Karrion now have to chase for his title.
See, the thing is when you were saying Karrion doesn't have to be the one to take the pin in this match, I think that's where you can get someone else into this moving forward, where they're not the one being pinned. So if Karrion does throw out the, you know, I beat all of you, the retort is simply, no, you pinned that guy. You didn't beat me.
Yeah.
You may have given me a, you know, roughed me up in the match, but you didn't have what it takes to knock me down and pin me. Can you do it one-on-one? And that's where the next challenge is Karrion's like, okay, so I have to just waylay you? Let's see.
And that goes the opposite way. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins the title and doesn't pin Karrion, you didn't beat me. You beat that guy. I want my title back.
Yeah. So either way, you can build a feud coming out of it.
The people I eliminate are Johnny and Pete. I don't think they're getting the belt in this one. I think Kyle has a small chance. But I could see Cole beating Kyle and winning the title in that scenario. Or vice versa. Like, Karrion's distracted, Cole pins Kyle, or Kyle pins Cole just to stick it to the other.
See, I could see Adam pinning Kyle, or Adam pinning somebody, and then he just does what he does best. He taunts the fuck out of Karrion with the title, right?
Yeah.
But also, Adam Cole had a really long run with the NXT Championship.
That's what I was just about to bring up, was he held the belt for over a year. He had like 400 days, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
And so, like, okay, you had Keith get the belt, then you had Keith drop the belt to Karrion, who then immediately had to give it up because of injury. Finn had his dominant run. Karrion just picked it up. I mean, I know there's been a number of people in between, but it just feels like if you put the belt on Cole again, that it's just kind of like, okay, we've just gone back to 2 years from now.
But at the same point, I don't. If Cole were to win it, I don't think it's a long-term reign. I think it's more you then to have Cole defend it against Kyle, and Kyle gets his belt by beating Cole, and then you find something else for Karrion to do in the meantime. But that would be your next takeover main event, is Cole Kyle 2 for the title.
Well, yeah, and we could have that whole, you know, situation. There's a draft coming.
Right after SummerSlam, yeah.
So Karrion could be bound for bigger things. And rather than have to have him get drafted and then have to have the natural conclusion that the NXT title has to come off of him, you go ahead and take the title off of him now. And then that way you can do a few more things with him before August.
Yeah, it just feels like if Karrion loses here, in theory he would try to get the next title shot, but from what you guys were talking about, it seems like the next progressive feud, if Adam wins it, would be Kyle again, rather than Karrion.
Oh, I think Karrion would be right there. I think he'd be breathing down Adam Cole's neck. But Adam Cole being Adam Cole, he could deflect Karrion off and basically be like, yeah, no, not gonna give it to you. Kyle, you bitch! You come here, because I'm not done with you.
I'm not finished with you.
That's how I can see that one going. I don't know. I just, for me, Karrion Kross being feeding four other men does nothing for me. It's a easy conclusion to get to. He would look absolutely monstrous. But in terms of the show, like, that being the conclusion of it, that just does nothing for me. It doesn't excite me. Like, the chance that, like, somebody could actually come in, like, I would actually love to see Johnny, like, weasel his way in, and he figures out a way to get his hands on that title.
That would be cool, like, but I think Johnny's distracted elsewhere.
Johnny's distracted elsewhere, but it's just that moment.
Johnny needs to play dad right now.
It's like, again, it's like the whole time that, like, Austin Theory went up against Karrion, like, somehow, some way, Karrion loses it by pure dumb luck, right? Like, somehow Austin Theory lucks his way into beating Karrion Kross for the title and taking the title off of him, and now he's got it. Because I feel like that's how that should happen, right? Like, it's not anybody truly beats the shit out of Karrion Kross and leaves him lame, because I don't think they have anybody. Maybe short of Bronson Reed, they could do that, or Walter. Like, you could have one of the two of them come in and just absolutely destroy him and leave him laying and take his title. Like, you could do that.
You could. Right? You could. I don't know.
But I really feel like somebody's going to come in, especially in this situation, and they're going to weasel their way out of it. They're going to weasel their way with the title, and they're going to go off with it. And then now there's Karrion and Scarlett. Like, well, hell, we got to go after that guy.
There are things that excite me, but at the same time, I don't know if there's a really big match I'm excited to see Karrion in right now. And that, as the champion, is kind of the problem. Because as good as Pete Dunne and Karrion could be, it doesn't excite me as much as it should, you know?
I think for me, what excites me it's like the concept of like Karrion versus someone like Walter, where it would just be two big, thick dudes beating the high holy hell out of each other until one of them wins. Like, that appeals to me more than this match, just because I feel like there already is a foregone conclusion to this.
So who's winning, Lindsay?
I don't know. Like, I feel like it's natural to say that Karrion Kross is going to walk away with the title, right? Like, he's going to beat all four men in this match, and he's going to walk away.
It's easy to say that, but I like the idea of Adam Cole winning and then Kyle beating Cole in August for the belt. I like that scenario than anything else I can get out of Karrion right now. But that's me.
No, they're not going to bring Ciampa back, LeMans. He's
embedded with the Grizzled Young Veteran feud with Thatcher.
Timothy.
Yeah, they're keeping him out of the title picture right now because I think they're trying to make Kyle. So they're keeping him away from the title. And then once Kyle is good to go, then they'll probably bring him back into it. I don't know. Like I said, I would love to see like a Johnny or an Adam just figure out a way to beat Karrion at his own game and outsmart him. And more so outsmart Scarlett, because she's the one that's really kind of set up to be calling the shots, right? Because she's got the whole mystical, magical thing going on. So somehow, some way, they figure out a way around her, around Karrion, and they get that title away from him. I really like Adam or Johnny winning, but I don't know who wins.
Make a pick. make a pick.
You know what, Adam?
Brant?
I'm going with the easy money.
You're going Karrion?
I think Karrion wins here. And honestly, you know, I can see Adam and Kyle on a takeover or on a NXT in July setting up Kyle Kross in August for Kyle to get the belt.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Because I think it's you get rid of the feud with Adam Cole, or you have Cole waiting in the wings for Kyle to get the belt, thinking that's easier pickings. And I think Kyle getting the win over Karrion is a big solo win to kind of help set him up for a main event push.
And yeah, Cole did stand tall on TV. I'll go Karrion. Yeah, Karrion.
Doesn't feel great about it. But
I want to see Cole, but brain says Karrion, so I'll go Karrion. 8-Ball, who does Kyle win the title on Sunday? Yes, definitely. Kyle for the 8-Ball. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 2.
Wrestler 2. Which is, right, on our sheet is Kyle.
I was going to say, I need to know which one 2 is. I can't just put Wrestler 2.
It's whoever wins, Brent.
Shh. They're not supposed to know how this works.
But that does it for us.
That does it for us. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
We will be live Sunday night, 10:30-ish. With NXT, the Rack Extra reviews is NXT TakeOver in your house. By the way, awesome Doc Kendricks cameo on Tuesday with the Slam Jam. Saturday night, midnight, another edition of SeaMarineSeaMarineLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. As mentioned, we'll be live for the Rack Extra on Sunday, Raw Post Show Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern. And we'll be live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview
Hell in a Cell.
It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can do the Discord command chat. Yes, We have a Discord, interact, become part of the community, and all that Discord stuff. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or
Lens M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
We are Epic partners.
Lindsay?
Brent, you got stuff to plug?
Oh, you're going to pass off me. Awesome. Hey, so if anyone wants to find my weird ramblings, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens, or you can hear me flying space now on Saturdays with Fortnite with friends. Yeah, things have gotten crazy in Fortnite, and I love it.
It's great.
We'll be previewing it on Saturday. We'll let you see what's going on Saturday, because there is no Fortnite with friends tonight. It's definitely interesting. And you can follow me on all the social medias at LinsWard, LNSWRD. If you're checking things out, check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Everybody, tune in Sunday. Check out the NXT show. Check out our review of the NXT show. It should be a good, fun, happy time. But till then, for Rock, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you Sunday. Bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.